Would you stand with us this morning? I want to begin with one of the powerful hymns of the church. Christ arose. Let's sing it this morning. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Please be seated. This morning I want to begin by asking you a very sobering question. One that I don't know that you may have ever thought of or been asked before, although if you have read the Bible, at least the New Testament, you'll have come across it, because the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he asked the question and he answered a little later, but this is what he said. He said this, he asked the question, what if there was no resurrection? What if Christ had been raised from the dead? What if the story written down somewhere went something like this? Early in the morning, some women went to the tomb, and on their way they were asking themselves, when we get there, how are we going to roll away that big stone that is over the tomb? And when they got there, there were two guards that were standing in front of the rock that had been rolled in front of it. And they told the guards, they said, we've come here to finish ministering to the body the proper spices, the proper Jewish burial that we weren't able to 3 days ago. And the guards were incredibly understanding, and they rolled the stone, allowed the women to go into the tomb, properly anoint the body that was still lying in place. And when they were done, they left the tomb. They watched as the guards rolled the stone back over the opening. And the women sat outside the tomb some distance away because of the guards, and they wept gently as they remembered how their lives had been impacted by this Jesus. And after some time, they slowly walked back to the place where they knew that Jesus' disciples were staying, and they told them they'd been to the tomb, they were able to get in, they finished the ritual anointing, the guards put the stone back in place, and upon hearing the women, the disciples, after very little discussion, they gathered their belongings, what little they had. They gave each other deep hugs because they'd been close for the last 3.5 years, and they said goodbye to one another, and quietly and intermittently, so as not to be conspicuous, one after another, sometimes two of them left the room. They headed out of the city, made their way back to their towns or their city of origin, most to the places where they had first met Jesus. Some of them had to find new places because they couldn't go back to the towns where they came from. Can I ask you this morning, what if that was it? What if that was the rest of the story? And can I tell you something very interesting? Every religious group in the world who had a leader that they followed, a leader who taught them, a leader who taught them in such a way that they believed their beliefs and it affected their lives, every one of those religious groups has a story like that to tell. Do you know why? Because their leaders died. Every one of their leaders was buried, and every one of their leaders is still in a grave somewhere. The only difference with them is that their leaders didn't tell them over and over and over that he was going to die, how he was going to die, where he was going to die. And here's the real kicker. Their leaders didn't tell them that after 3 days, he was going to do something that had never been done before. He was going to come back from the dead. Wow! What a claim that Jesus made. The truth is, when we read some of the accounts, when Jesus made the claim, told his followers that this is what was going to happen, they didn't understand what he meant anyway. It's recorded. And if the truth were told, They didn't understand most of it. And if they understood whatever, they didn't believe it. Because it had never been done before. They took it as some kind of a parable. He told parables all the time that they didn't understand. So obviously this was just another one that they didn't get. And what about some of the other things he said? Do you remember when he said, I'm leaving you guys. I'm going to the Father. They didn't understand it then. That's why they asked him, well, show us the Father. And in response, he said something weird. He goes, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, but we must have missed what that meant. And then Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I leave you, because when I go, I'm going to send Holy Spirit, a comforter, a teacher, a counselor. And when he comes, he will not only be with you, but he will be in you. In fact, he said, how many times I will be with you? I will never leave you. What did that mean? He's dead. He's not with us. He left. He forsook us. We're all alone again. In fact, it feels like we are more alone than before we met him. At least we didn't have all the built-up expectation before he had. And what about this one? Do you remember when he said something about, if I go, I will come again? And when I do, I will take you to where I am. I have actually prepared a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. Do you remember that? We didn't get it when he said it. We certainly don't get it now that it's all over and he's dead in the tomb. I want you to think this morning, can you imagine the thoughts that would have gone through their minds? Can you imagine the conversations they would have had? We thought he was the one. We thought he was going to take out the Romans. We thought he was going to set Israel free. We thought he was different. He even said he was the Messiah. We can hardly imagine what it must have been like for them after 3.5 years of following and listening and watching to him minister people and ministering to people themselves, God flowing through them, what it would have been like had it all ended there that day. But I want you to think how different it would be for you and I today. First of all, do you know that a good chunk of this book would not be here today? The last book in this book would have been the book of John, if any of the gospel writers would have still bothered to write anything down about their time with him. They were all written, all the gospels were written about 30 or 40 years after his death. And with him being dead and gone, I don't know if they would have even written anything. Regardless of how powerful his teaching was and how amazing his miracles were, because it says they were written so others could believe, let me ask you, if he's dead, believe what? Like a pile of good people before him and a bunch of good people after him, he did some pretty remarkable stuff and made some pretty way out there claims, and then he died and it was over. I doubt they would have written anything, but if they did, John is where it would have ended. And since all the world has, all they've ever had is the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, all we would know is what those people called the Jews. They called their God Yahweh. They have been waiting for 4,000 years for some Messiah to come, some Savior to come, some new version of King David to come. But they had not just been waiting. If it was our day, they would have not just been waiting 4,000 years, but today they would have been waiting 6,000 years. Most having totally let go of all the teachings and beliefs. They might be of Jewish heritage, but they live no different than any other people with no religion today. But I want to tell you what you know. There are a few who still believe. There are a few who are still looking, still believing. Believing the temple will be rebuilt. Believing the sacrifice will begin again. Believing the red heifer will be killed and burned and used to purify. Believing that Israel will still be liberated from all of its enemies. And can I tell you, it had a lot of enemies, and it has a lot of enemies. But for those few holdouts who are still looking for a Messiah, still believing the Old Testament prophets, they are few and far between. And truthfully, having little or no impact on our world. And because he didn't rise, because he's still dead, because he didn't go to heaven, and because he didn't go to the Father, he didn't send his spirit back to earth. I want you to imagine for a moment life without Holy Spirit. Like the 4,000 years before Jesus, when God's Spirit showed up and then he left, showed up and then he left, he showed up and empowered someone like Samson, he did his thing and then he left. You and I would be living our life every day without the person and the power of the Holy Spirit inside here. We wouldn't be able to say, ever, we would never be able to say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Because like all the Old Testament people, there would be no spirit in us that is greater than the spirit of this world. I want you to hear, it would be us in our flesh against the principalities and powers of the kingdom of darkness. There would be no Pentecost, no upper room, no violent wind, no shaking, no tongues of fire, no speaking with tongues, no appearing drunk in the early part of the day, no preaching a message of resurrected, no believing that he was alive, no conversion of 3,000 people, no baptism, no miracles, no spreading the good news, no spreading the great news. How lovely are the feet of him who brings good news would have never been written. Because what good news is there if he's dead and still dead? Can you imagine a life without the Spirit of God inside of you? Some of us can. Let's be honest, some of us can. Many of us can, actually, because we lived that life, some of us, for years without him on the inside of us, we'd be no different than the majority of the people outside the walls of this building today. They live day after day, no spirit, no person who never leaves them, no power to resist wrong and choose right, no power over sin, no power over sickness and disease, no power to tame this little sucker. No power to stop speaking death and start speaking life. No greater is he, because he never came. Because he never left the grave. Still dead. So what does that mean regarding sin? If the wages of sin is death, and everything that Jesus taught was that he was coming to set us free from our sin, and its wage, the wage of sin was death. Even though he died on the cross and said it was for us, if he's still dead, if death still held him, if he didn't overcome the greatest power of the enemy that he has on us, which is separation from God because of our sin, spiritual death, separation, physical death, dead in the body, never to rise and live again. What hope would we have? If our sin remains, and that sin separates us from God, and we die with that sin still in our life, does that mean we will be separated from God for eternity? Yes. And the worst of it is, back then they had the blood of goats and bulls to at least cover their sin until hopefully some Messiah came. There, today, there is no blood of a goat, no blood of a lamb, no blood of anything. If the Messiah ever did come, and if he ever did live a sinless life, and if he ever did pay the price for our sin, and if he ever did break the power of sin, which is death, physical and spiritual, maybe he would be able to remove the cover of the blood and actually forgive us and make us holy. But that would be if he ever shows up. And let me tell you what you know. We need to be holy in order to have a relationship with God. But right now, we're still in our sin. Right now, we're still in bondage. Right now, sin still separates us from God. Right now, we have no power over sin, no power over bondage, no power over addiction, no power over death, physical or spiritual. We would be slaves to sin, slaves to fear, slaves to death. We'd have no hope in sight. 6,000 years for the Jews, and they're still looking for it. And so, we could make this statement to someone. Why don't you just pray about all this? Let me ask you a question. One of the things this Jesus said when he was alive for the few short years he was here, If you ask anything, this is what he said. If you ask anything in my name, my Father will hear you and will answer it. Can I ask you, if Jesus is dead, if he is still in the tomb, if he doesn't rise from the dead, is what he said true? Is there any power in his name? Or would we be doing what millions of people around the globe are doing every day? And this is what they do. They pray to someone who is dead, a saint who lived, and they died, and they're still in the tomb today, and they're praying to them, hoping that they will hear, hoping they have some pull when they get to heaven, hoping that they got a special pass with God up there, hoping they have some power somewhere, because they sure didn't have the power over death to get out of their tomb and to be in heaven alive with the Father. Can I tell you honestly? All Jesus would be is another dead saint. And let me ask you, does praying to dead Mary, does that do anything? Does praying to a dead Jude, does that do anything? How about praying to the rock, Peter? Does that do anything? So praying to dead Jesus and praying in the name of dead Jesus, would it help? Can I give you one that's even worse than that? When Jesus was on earth, we know that he went away often early in the morning. He went away and he prayed. Early mornings, got up. He saw the sunrise. Some of you almost saw the sunrise. He got up. He went out, and it says he went out to a place by himself, and there he prayed. In fact, we know that his prayer life was so powerful, it was so effective. The disciples even asked at one point, they said, Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray so that our prayers would be as effective and powerful as yours. And he actually did that. And then before he died, he actually spent a significant amount of time, John's 14, 15, 16, and 17, he prayed for his disciples. He prayed for the world. He prayed for people who would believe in him afterward. And then he made a claim. Here's the craziest thing. He made a claim. He said, when I go away and I am with the Father, one of the things that I will be doing is I will be praying for you. I will be interceding day and night before the Father, and those prayers are being heard from the Father. Those prayers are full of life. Let me just ask you, how many prayers do you think Jesus prayed that were outside the will of God when he prayed? How many? Zero. They were 100% in accordance with the Father's will. No wonder they were powerful. No wonder they were effective. Even to the point of his greatest anguish where he prayed this crazy prayer, God, not my will, but yours be done. And the disciples heard it. He told us he would be praying for us. The followers heard it. Anybody who believed in him heard it. But then he died. And he stayed dead. What does that mean? I'll tell you. Dead people don't pray. Dead people don't sit at the right hand of the Father. Dead people don't intercede for the saints day and night. Dead people don't advocate for anybody. Why? Because they're dead. I want you to imagine this for a moment, and I'm going to say this only for a moment. Jesus said, all things are held together by the word of his power, right? Jesus said, he is ever before the Father interceding on our behalf. Isn't that what he said, right? I want you to imagine that for just one half hour of our time, he stopped. No prayers. No words. No power coming out of his mouth. No intercession for me. No intercession for you. No prayers of Jesus standing against the design of the enemy in our life. Can I ask you something? Do you remember the time where Peter was making a great claim about protecting Jesus and not letting him die and doing the whole deal? And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, Satan wanted to sift you. He told me that he was going to sift you. But I prayed for you. Can I ask you a question? If Jesus hadn't prayed for Peter against the enemy's design, do you think that after Peter denied Jesus three times, do you think that his end would have been any different than Judas's? I'll tell you. That prayer made the difference between the two outcomes. And let me tell you why. Because his prayer against the enemy was powerful and it was effective. Imagine for a moment, just one half hour where he stopped. No prayer for you, no prayer for me. The enemy is seeking to sift all of us all the time. He is seeking to take us out all the time. And I'll tell you something about him. He is constant in his mission to steal, kill, and destroy. It is constant. No half hour break. And let me tell you what you know. That enemy is incredibly successful. Imagine without Jesus' consistent prayers for you and me, how successful the enemy plans would be working on us. I have to tell you, I could go on and on and on. The Apostle Paul said this to the Corinthian Christians. He said, if Jesus were not raised from the dead, there would be no hope. He said, Corinthians, we would be the most foolish people in the world for believing anything about what Jesus said. But then he said this. He's not dead. He's alive. That tomb is empty. The stone was rolled away. He did see his disciples. He did go to heaven. He did send Holy Spirit. He is preparing a place. He is interceding. He is living with us. And he is coming back. Hallelujah, Paul said. He is risen. Oh, you sound like he's dead. He is risen. Worship team, would you come? Let me share this with you and see if you know it. You can join me. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I thank you today that we are not among those who go through this day, wake up this morning, and there is no hope inside of us. They wake up alone, but we were not alone. We wake up and step into the world, but we do that knowing you are praying, interceding, you've gone before us. And Father, I am so thankful that not only did you say that you would be with us, but Holy Spirit, when you came to dwell inside of us. Greater is he who is in me. Because Jesus, you rose from the dead. I ask, Father, today, that for a brief moment, you would give us a glimpse of where we would be in this life without you. You would give us a glimpse that if you did not rise from the dead, if you were not alive inside of us, who we'd be, where we would be, God, we can't imagine. We can't imagine, and we don't ever want to. I thank you today all across this globe. There are those who believe the truth that the grave is empty. Those who believe that you did come alive and that you are coming back again to take us home. I thank you today that we are not the most foolish people on this earth. But you have blessed us to be transformed with the truth that has set us free from our sin and made us as holy as you. Thank you for the faithfulness, Jesus, to drink the cup. Thank you that you went to hell and took the keys of death. Thank you that morning you rose with a resurrected body that we will see one day. And thank you that you ascended, because it was to our benefit that you went. This morning as we worship, Holy Spirit, would you awaken inside of us the reality that we are worshiping a living God who has changed us for eternity. Congregation, this morning, as we are worshiping, on the front altar I have put the communion elements. If you feel led this morning as a child of God, I invite you to come as the worship is happening to receive the broken body and the blood of our Lord. The offering plates are on either side. I invite you to place your offering at the same time as an act of worship. But today, can we worship? Because he is a living God and not dead. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 said this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Every other leader of every religion today is in a tomb except ours. Every other leader of every religion did not come out of the grave, did not ascend to heaven, and is not coming back again. We do not worship a dead saint. We worship a living Savior. And that is why we are called children of the resurrection. Today, as a child of God stepping into a dark world, I invite you to carry the light. I invite you to carry the blessing. I invite your feet to be the good news. The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his beautiful face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you with his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Everybody believing he is alive said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.